What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What can you say about miscarriage? The answer is a few things. My name is George Samietz, and today's awkward question could be renamed painful question, or sensitive question, or even whispered question, because it brings together the two topics we don't want to put in the same sentence, the same room, the same family: death and little ones. Today's straight answer to awkward questions came to me as a general question, but I, as I think most clergy, have faced it as a specific personal question with a specific mother or couple or family before me, asking not generally, but specifically, because they have suffered a miscarriage. My words involve teaching and prayer, and possibly even ritual and ceremony. What can you say about miscarriage? I begin with a few key points. Firstly, people don't want my opinion on a topic, by what God's word teaches. This means that I'm bound by what it says, and my straight answers and pastoral care need to be within what Scripture says, in specific places and overall. Secondly, and just to be clear about what we're talking about, miscarriages are the unexpected, some say spontaneous, death of a fetus, somewhere up to the 20th week of pregnancy, according to various dictionaries. My experience is that the demarcation between a miscarriage and a stillbirth varies, depending on the country and the laws of the land and people's general sense of things. The closer the death is to a full-term pregnancy, the more the response will be akin to the death of a baby. Earlier in the pregnancy, in other words, the further away from the full-term pregnancy the death comes, the miscarriage, the more the response seems to be akin to dealing with a medical procedure, rather than the death of a person. Miscarriages are more common than people usually expect. The statistics you will find oscillate between 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 pregnancies end in miscarriage. Miscarriages usually occur early in the pregnancy, within the first 8 weeks. It is often said that the chance of miscarriage drops significantly once the baby's heartbeat is detected. Health factors in the mother may play a part in a miscarriage. Please note the word may. Also, women who have no health factors may miscarry. A woman who miscarries may have a full-term pregnancy next time. Some women may miscarry several, or even sadly, many times. There are unknown factors at play that defy diagnosis and prognosis. Miscarriages are often unexpected and sudden occurrences, though many women may say that they sensed something was wrong and it was confirmed at the next doctor's visit. What makes miscarriages particularly difficult can be the inability to discover the reason why. Miscarriages are often spoken about as "it just wasn't meant to be." But what they are is very clear. The expected child has died. All the thoughts about a birth and a baby have been crushed, and there is now a hole that fills with questions and wonderings, and a wide range of emotions, and people, especially mothers, but let's not forget fathers and other family members, can carry this event in a society that usually doesn't understand, or even can almost deny what has happened, by wanting everyone to move on quickly, as can be heard in pious platitudes and cruel cliches such as, "it's for the best," or "you can always have another." The church responds to death by seeking the mercy of God, always. Grief, however it comes, as we respond to loss, whatever it is, doesn't go away per se, but can be wrapped in God's everlasting arms. So clergy and the church acknowledge the truth of what has happened, whether that was a day ago or 10 years ago. The expected baby wasn't born, a child has died. We live in a world of death, and we prefer not to, but there are times when death comes close. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. And a little later, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. For Christians, death is the reality that sin is part of our world. This is not an empirical statement that can be verified. Yes, sometimes people do evil things and die from them. But our news is more often of evil being done to people who die. And the younger the person, the less evil we think them to be. So the harder it is to understand death, and the more easy it is to blame God. To say that death is the reality that sin is part of the world is a theological statement that our world is corrupted by sin, polluted, infected, irradiated, to use a modern picture, with sin, one outcome of which is death. Since humanity is the cause of sin, we suffer its consequences, and we look to a Saviour to rescue and help us, and for Christians, that rescuer is Jesus, the man who died and who was raised to life again, having defeated death's power to hold sway over life and eternity. God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, of Jesus, of God's love and mercy, of life with God. People are saved through Jesus and contact with him when they receive his life and he takes their sin and death, and this occurs in baptism and is lived out through faith. That is how God has responded to us, to each generation, to our sinful, death-filled world, in the person of Jesus. The child that is born can be brought to Jesus and receive new life in baptism and grow as a child of God. Miscarriage means that the child is not born, not as we hoped, not alive. What was hoped for doesn't happen. Everything has been interrupted, stopped. We are left empty. And so we turn to God again, and yes, with all the emotions running through us, bewilderment, sorrow, anger, grief, turmoil, sadness, and trust his mercy to hold the little one in his care, even as we on earth cannot. Lutherans don't believe in a cosmology with a limbo or a purgatory or intermediate states. But in God's care in Jesus, that reveals God's mercy to the world, and it is to that we cling. That is the picture we hold to, that Jesus holds the child in his arms. Clergy don't know all the answers to why this tragedy has happened, but we point to what we do know, that God is merciful and loving, and that the child who has died is precious to him, and hence we leave the child in God's hands. The Church doesn't baptize the dead, even if the death occurs before birth. The usual means by which the Holy Spirit works through word and sacraments has been interrupted. Again, we leave this matter with God, and it is unsearchable. It is part of that mystery that in this world we see and know only in part. We see through a mirror dimly. But the God who has formed us in our mother's womb before she knew we were there, the God who chose Jeremiah for his work before he was born, the God who moved John the Baptist in the womb to rejoice at the arrival of the mother of our Lord, is loving and merciful, and so we cling to God's character as revealed in Scripture and through Jesus. This means that the Church should offer the care of the Good Shepherd to all those who suffer miscarriage. Of course, it is up to those who grieve to decide what is beneficial to them. God will no doubt have already received prayers for the baby from Christian parents when the pregnancy is known, and then afterwards, and now with the miscarriage, prayers can be said for the parents and the family in their loss. The baby in utero has been incorporated into a Christian mother's life of daily repentance, her daily return to baptism, her worship and Holy Communion, and the rituals of the Church. And if a miscarriage has occurred, then the rituals of the Church can also be sought for her and all who grieve, most usually a memorial service. In these moments, everyone comes close to Jesus and hears his voice and reflects on his nature and character and puts their trust in him. The Church can also offer a space for people to return and talk and remember and grieve about a miscarriage, no matter how far in the past it happened. The Church doesn't impose such activities, but offers them. I have conducted memorial services for families mourning a miscarriage, and have also been told, no thanks, to anything from the Church. I have sometimes wondered whether a miscarriage has occurred, but I wasn't told. Miscarriages are emotional times, unexpected, intense, and responses are very much circumstantial, for example, if the pregnancy is public. But they all deal with the reality that a child is not born alive. Consequently, we leave this situation in God's hands and stand ready as the church to help in whatever way we can those who suffer a miscarriage. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samietz, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.